Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum Football.
Please welcome from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Yeah, the man who never takes a bye week joins us now, Max Starks. Max, what's going on?
I am doing wonderful, guys. I am enjoying some time away for this Thanksgiving holiday. I am, you know, relaxing before the final push to December, which is going to be a lot of fireworks, especially in the NFL. And, of course, football. So I'm excited, man. I can't complain. This is the lull before the storm.
You know what I love about that, Max, is the old saying, of course, in the NFL, you win games in November to make a run in December, and you're winning right now. You're just winning wherever you are right now. You're on vacation, and a well-deserved vacation, I might add, correct?
Yes. I mean, you know, I've traveled crisscross the greater United States for the last 13 weeks, so it's good to have kind of my bye week set up at this time of year before I make the push all the way to February, so I'm happy and thankful. You know, obviously this is the season of giving thanks. I'm thankful for my family.
Yes.
For giving me the flexibility and the freedom to be able to do this. My beautiful wife and my two girls make it all possible and make me want to do this even more so. But they've been just troopers about it. So I'm thankful that I get to spend some time with them that's, for the most part, uninterrupted.
You know, I'm super thankful for my brother Craig, my older brother Craig Wolfley. By the way, how's he doing?
Craig told me to tell you he loves you. I was just on with him earlier today. He was jealous of me eating a piece of bacon during the show, but he's in good spirits.
Oh, Max, man, it's so good. Thank you for it. We really do enjoy you being here, of course.
I just love how Max took vacation and is still talking to both wolves.
That's right.
And it's 11 in the morning. Max, yes. I'm a little surprised you're not doing sideline reporting for the Lions game, then the Cowboys game, then the Saints game tomorrow. That's interesting. Usually you do about three games a day, don't you?
I know. Normally I do, but you know, it's funny. ESPN and of course the Steelers made it so that December will be my Hell Week initiation, where I will literally have a game Thursday. I'll have a game Friday, Sunday, Thursday. Following Sunday, I will have four games within less than a day span.
That's the way to do it. All right, so when you were a player, Max, how would you approach the bye week, especially when it's this late in the season like it is for the Cardinals?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, having a bye week, you know, this time of year, this is one where it's true relaxation. It's the mental break. And when you think of the Cardinals and where they're at, they're alone at the top in the win category. They're the first ones to nine wins, and when they get back into play, they'll also have the shot at being the first team to 10 wins in the season. So the Cardinals have set themselves up in a really good situation, and they've done it shorthanded, right? I mean, they've gotten through a lot of the COVID protocols and losing players and still finding ways to win. And Colt McCoy, 2-1 at the start.
Yeah.
In Kyler Murray's absence, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better situation for the Cardinals to be in. And then after this bye, you get K1 back at the helm for the final push. Guys are rejuvenated. And it's also a holiday, too. So it makes it a double bonus when you do it this late in the year, because you can really sit back and be thankful for a lot, but also realize that, you know, hey, this is just a quick little thing. The tryptophan's going to kick in on Thursday. I don't have to go out and play Sunday. I can let that wear out of my system. I don't need the Narcan to knock me back into place. I can just go out and have a good time and then get ready and strap in for the last half.
So did you like the bye? Did you enjoy the bye as a player?
You know what? I enjoyed it because usually I was trying to get healthy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I couldn't stand it. I know it was weird.
You wanted to hit. You wanted
No. It was just the weirdest thing, Max. It really was. I had to work myself into a frenzy to go out and play every game and to go out and compete, even in practice, every day, it seemed, in the season. And because of that, I never wanted to to let that go. I never wanted to have a week where I felt like a civilian again because I was afraid that suddenly I wouldn't find that button, wouldn't be able to generate that intensity all over again. I know it was, you know, something that was a ridiculous thought to have, yet at the same time, I will tell you, that motivated me. I couldn't stand the bye. There are some players that love the bye. There are some players that don't like it. But either whether you love it or not, Max, talk to me a little bit about how you would prepare a team coming off of the bye for the next game, the next opponent. How would you treat the bye and then the team you're going to play off of it?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that when you're going into that bye week after that, after the last game, right? We just beat the Seahawks. Let's just make it very relevant. Just beat the Seahawks. We know we don't have a game next week. I think the biggest thing is, hey guys, you've earned this opportunity to be in the position that you're in, and the bye is coming at this point. We can argue it's timing, but you know what? It's here. You've earned it. You fought the gauntlet for 11 weeks. Most people love it dead center. We're a little bit off center. But what you guys have done, the adversity that you've overcome, all of you, at different points, COVID lists, injuries, you know, missed time, and we still managed to be what's most important, a team. Enjoy this time off. I think it's even more apropos because it's a season of thanks. You know, it's a chance, hey, go visit your families or have them come into town. Tell them you're thankful for their support, right, to be able to help you be in this position that you're in currently. But let's not lose sight of the goal, right? The journey is still the most important thing, and we're still on that path. We're not off that path yet. We're just simply further along it. And we can't see the end of this journey yet. We've got miles and miles to go still before we get that ultimate prize that we set on all the way back in July that we committed to as a group to get to this point. We've given ourselves a chance. That's it. It's a chance. Nothing's guaranteed. Nothing's given. There's no expectations, but you have to go out and earn it. So take this time, get healed up, spend time with the ones you love, let them know you care about them. But then when you're done, when we come back in this building, when we hit that practice facility, we hit the field running down there in Tempe, hey, know what it's about. It's finishing the job. It's going back. Get your backpack, strap it on your back, bring your helmet with you, and we're going to start marching on because we have a plan. It's the end of the season is not Arizona. The end of the season is in Los Angeles, California, SoFi Stadium. That's the goal. That's the destination. And we're not there yet. We might have visited, but we're not there yet. We still got a lot to go. So make sure that you come back refreshed, renewed, and ready to rock and roll and finish out the last part of this.
Would you give them 5 days consecutively off? Would you give them any more?
I think because it's a holiday, I mean, you have to give them at least 4 days off. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Monday and get back in the horse. Get your body moving. I think that's the biggest thing. Get your body moving on Monday. Everybody's off on Tuesday, and then it's marching orders time. It's time to get cracking. But I think you give them the 4 days off. You give them Thanksgiving off. You give them Friday off in the weekend.
Coming up, Max going to hang around and talk about the tough weekend ahead for the rest of the NFC West. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Yeah, this will tell you all you need to know about Max Starks. He is actually finally on a vacation, and he's still on the show with us today. So we're gonna let him go a little bit early, but we're gonna keep him around this segment. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I guess.
I'll be back next week.
Yes, I know.
I'll be back to normal.
the NFC West, the rest of the division is playing this weekend. No matter what happens, the Cardinals will still be in first place. But there's some interesting matchups. You've got Seattle in Washington to take on the football team on Monday night. You've got San Francisco hosting the Vikings. That one, those are two teams fighting for the last playoff spots in the NFC. And then you have, Max, the LA Rams traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers on Sunday. So look, all of those teams could either gain ground on the Cardinals or lose ground on the Cardinals, but it's three pretty tough matchups. It's not inconceivable the Cardinals make up some ground this weekend without even playing.
Yeah, no, it's very conceivable. I think when you look at where Minnesota is and where San Francisco is, especially, this is going to be a slugfest. Because both teams play a very similar style of football. They're both running back led, and Minnesota's been in some wild games, the last couple of weeks. So you think about it and you say, man, listen, they have conquered some beasts. They conquered the Green Bay Packers last week. That was a thrilling game that went down to the wire that Minnesota had handedly in control early on. And then they beat the Chargers the week before that. They lose a very close game to the Ravens that was just wild. I thought they were going to pull that one out as well. So they're right there on the cusp. And then you look at how San Francisco has done, and San Francisco has been another team that's been fighting. They're both on a two-game winning streak, respectively. Yes, the Cardinals did take care of business against San Fran very, very easily. One of those two victories for Colt McCoy, first week out the hill, showing him what he could do. But, you know, this San Francisco team has beaten the Rams, and they beat the brakes off the Rams. I mean, the Rams look lost against San Francisco in that victory. And then, of course, they handled the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are still lost. So this is really two very similar match teams. I mean, this game.
Max, are you there?
Great, late afternoon game.
Max, okay, we lost you there for a second. Are you there, buddy?
Oh, I am here.
Okay.
I am still here.
All right.
My bad. Where did you lose me at?
Well, just
I had a great soliloquy going.
No, you did. There's no doubt about it. We lost you. The problem, it was right at the end right there. I just want to ask you about the Seattle Seahawks and their offensive line. Can you imagine that offensive line and how it's going to fare in Washington?
I think it's going to be a challenge, but I think losing Chase Young helped Seattle out, right?
There's no doubt. So
Washington, is in a position where they are doing great. Like, Taylor Heinicke is actually playing at a very high level right now. I got to see him play against Green Bay. And, I mean, honestly, outside of self-inflicted wounds that they had in that Green Bay game, they could have competed with Green Bay. So I think they're a lot closer than people want to give them credit for, because I tell you what, that game, if he doesn't, fall down before getting into the end zone and his knee hitting at the one and then them getting stuffed on the subsequent play, I mean, that's a different game in Green Bay. So this is a team that has a lot of fight and a lot of will. I mean, you look at that Panthers game, and it was in Carolina. Ron Rivera coming back there for the first time. A lot of emotions. Cam Newton on the other side looking at Ron and trying to give him a how you like me now type of moment, and they fought that off. They beat the Buccaneers. I mean, I think that is one of the things that's crazy to think about, this Washington team. And so they have the ability to go, and they're hosting. Seattle's traveling cross-country to deal with this game. So I think that Seattle has to be in a better place, mentally, because they give up a lot of pressure to Green Bay, and Green Bay did absolutely what they wanted to do to them. And I think this Washington team fared better against Green Bay, than Seattle did. So I think it's very conceivable that Washington could win this game against Seattle.
Max, when you take a step outside the division now, just look at the NFC in general, and the top of the NFC really has been five teams for a good chunk of this season. So with the Cardinals on the top, when you look ahead and you say, okay, probably better be a playoff team, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Dallas, or the Rams, who in your mind would give them the biggest challenge in a playoff game?
I think it would be Green Bay. Just because it's just something about the way that they've played, that defense has finally come around. It's become a total effort. I think Green Bay, though, has to be at full strength, because I look at Tampa Bay, and I think Tampa Bay is just going to run out of gas. Because when you play those long seasons like they did last year, and you're going right into the season, it feels like physically, when you come off of a Super Bowl run, and especially doing it in the fashion that they did on the road, and they didn't get a week off. that eventually wears the body down. Now, granted, they're doing a great job this year. I don't know if they have enough to push to go back-to-back. I don't know if Tom Brady can survive that, that type of length again. So I just think that it would probably fall in Green Bay just because of Aaron Rodgers' mindset and his pettiness, right? I mean, they're just a team that's going to fight, scratch and claw, and they've already gotten that one win over the Cardinals. So this is one where I look at it and I'm like, man, this is just a fight, and I think it would fall in the Cardinals' favor if they play again. But I think that's the team that gives them probably the most haste in the NFC side.
So tomorrow, of course, three games on the ledger. Las Vegas at Dallas. Is that the game you're sitting in ashes for?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the rest of them, I don't want to see the Bears-Lions. That's absolutely like, ugh. And then Buffalo and the Saints doesn't really intrigue me. I think it is Las Vegas and Dallas because we saw Dallas have a less than stellar week out, and this is a team that's supposed to be, like you said, one of the other top teams in the NFC going head-to-head with the Raiders team that's been reeling and back and forth, hot, cold, mm-hmm. but a team that can beat you if you take them for granted.
Max, before we let you go, we can talk about a bunch of different teams over in the AFC, but I think one here, since we only have about a minute or so, if the Kansas City Chiefs are back, then I feel like everybody else kind of falls in line behind them. What have you seen from them over the last few weeks?
Just seeing that they can actually score points again. They actually figured that puzzle out. They couldn't score points at the beginning of the season, but I think that defense is still a liability. I don't know if I can fully trust the Chiefs. I can expect them to win the West, but I don't know if I can see them winning the AFC. I think the AFC is way tighter than people want to give it credit for. And I still think, Baltimore is still one of those teams that's a class right now in the AFC if you have to pick somebody leading, because Tennessee kind of took a step back. So I think it's still very tight in the AFC. Anybody can win it.
Max, great stuff, man. Have a great Thanksgiving, all
right? Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. Take care.
Okay, man.
All right, that's Max Starks checking in, as he does every week for Maximum Football, and he'll be back for the full hour next week, but we appreciate the half hour he just gave us on his vacation. Have you subscribed to the Wolf and Luke podcast yet? You should. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you will never miss any of the show. It's the Wolf and Luke podcast, brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. The Suns are on a roll to the tune of 13 straight. So what's it going to take to get to 14 straight wins? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The fullback and the thinback. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, Suns going for win number 15 tonight and win number 14 in a row in Cleveland against the team that this winning streak actually started against all the way back on October 30th, Wolf, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Truly amazing.
It's they've nearly spanned an entire month without losing a game. They've still got a few more this month, obviously.
In the NBA.
I know. In the NBA, when you're getting everybody's best shot because you just got within two wins of the whole thing last year.
It's truly incredible. As a former professional athlete, once again, the consistency of competition for the Phoenix Suns is so impressive to me. Heartwarming.
Cameron Payne was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, and they asked him, look, within that locker room, do you guys talk about the fact that you are on a 13-game winning streak?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's off limits, but honestly, man, we just look at it game by game. We just worry about the next day. Never can't look too far ahead. We just take it one game at a time. Just like tomorrow, we got Cleveland, and we're just going to figure that game out and move on to the next one. It's all about just win one game at a time. And then whatever happens, what comes with it, comes with it. Just like the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got to win one game at a time in order to win the whole thing.
For me right now, this is really a byproduct of what happened last postseason. When you think of the young guys that really gained so much experience in the postseason, you think of DeAndre Ayton and what that did, making that deep postseason run. You think of Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cam Payne. You think of these young guys that truly benefited from being in that situation, being under that scrutiny with that kind of pressure right there. Devin Booker as well. Throw him in there.
Yeah.
Devin's still a guy that is young and developing, still had not experienced the playoffs. And that was his first attempt at it last year. Pretty doggone good for Devin Booker right now. Think of all of that goodness. I think what we're seeing over these last 13 games, 13 in a row now for the Suns, has a lot to do with last year.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Especially, I mean, a guy like Devin Booker, for the longest time, it was like, okay, he's done all he can do. When is the rest of the team going to catch up with him, right? There's no doubt in my mind, and I'm sure if Devin Booker were here right now, he would say the same thing. The Devin Booker that we are seeing play basketball on November 24th, 2021 is much more evolved than the guy we saw on November 24th, 2020. I know they weren't playing yet, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because it's not just the season that he had last year and the playoffs and that experience. I mean, he made big shots in the playoffs, too. It's not like he was just standing there watching another team win. He was making decisive plays. And then, Wolf, he got right on the plane and went and won a gold medal, too.
Yes.
Which I know it's not the same as the NBA, but that is going into another place where you are on the team that is expected to win. That team, Team USA, faced, I don't want to say adversity, but some struggles early in that tournament. And then Devin Booker and Drew Holiday and then Chris Middleton got there, and all of a sudden they took off. But the experience, even that a guy like Devin Booker has gotten in the last 12 months, is invaluable.
Yeah, and you know, again, through this 13-game win streak for the Suns right now, I also look at the fact that early on in this win streak, and I was talking about this yesterday, but I think it bears repeating, Basinoni, it's just the fact that early on, the win total was still, the season was still so new, so fresh, that you were like, okay, oh, they're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and oh, they're playing the New Orleans Pelicans, and yet they didn't look like the Suns. That was the narrative surrounding this team early in this win streak right here. And now all of a sudden it's become very, very apparent that although they're playing more consistently, and I would say definitely on the defensive end of the floor, they're looking more and more like themselves, especially on the defensive end of the floor. I still think it's not their best basketball yet. They have not played their best basketball. That's incredible. They've won 13 games in a row.
Yeah. What's great about it, there's two things that really stand out to me. There's a lot, but the two things that really stand out to me are essentially what you just said. This is their baseline now. Not winning 13 games in a row, but even when you don't have your best, winning more often than not.
Yes.
You know, that's their baseline. And the other thing is, and you never know how a team's going to respond to this, to get as close as they did last year, how do you then get up for game 17 of the regular season the next year when you just want to be back in the playoffs, finishing what you couldn't quite finish last year? And Cameron Payne, again, on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, talked about they just want to be back in the playoffs.
We just want to get back there. And I mean, and it's showing right now with just our heart and just how we plan, our effort, energy every night. We just came close to something, and we want to get back there. I think that's what it is. I don't really think it has too much to do about the streak. It's just more so about us and just being a good team and just trying to be better and get back to the playoffs, get back to the championship.
It's what you always talk about, Wolf, the process. I mean, the process,
yes.
Even if you were two games away from winning the whole thing, you still got to go through 82 games in the regular season just to get back to round one of the playoffs. That's what, to me, would always be the most brutal thing if you were the team that lost in the championship, because you don't want to play Cleveland in November. You want to be playing Milwaukee in June. That's what you want. That's what. But they're doing it the right way. Cleveland's in front of you. Go through Cleveland first.
Yeah. No, it is just, listen, it's fascinating to me when I compare the two sports, of course, basketball and football. Football, you play once a week. That really is it right there, unless you're playing on Thursday, of course, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a once-a-week proposition for the most part, and I'm not trying to compare the physicality of the NBA to the NFL because it's night and day, as we all know. But yet, at the same time, the NBA is a physical. It is a physical proposition.
It will wear you down because you're playing three out of four nights.
It hurts to play the game of basketball when you're out there and your lungs are burning. It does. You become fatigued. There's no doubt about it when you're out there competing. And yet you do that 82 nights in the regular season. Now, once again, you're not out there playing with the intensity of the once-a-week proposition that is the NFL, Luke. You're not doing that. But still, you got to get up for games. You've got to bring the intensity when you compete on the basketball floor. It's physical enough where you've got to bring that intensity and know how to manufacture that intensity. And this is what is so impressive to me about what the Suns have been able to do. And I think of culture when I look at 13 games in a row.
Let's get one more here from Campaign talking about the challenge of integrating some new guys. They kept most of the core, pretty much the entire core from last year intact, but then you did add in a couple guys too, as you have to.
It was kind of tough at first just because we had a couple of injuries. So we really never got to get that fluent stuff going. JaVale was in starting, so we had Tank as the backup, and DA went out, and it's just back and forth. I was out, then Elfer was playing, so we really never had a good, just fluent couple games, and we're finally getting to that now. It's been a little tough, but we're starting to learn each other. We know how to put pressure on teams, and we're just starting to find our niche as a second unit. What we bring to the table every night. And once we keep just figuring each other out, honestly, I think we can be even better.
You can see it and you can hear it in a lot of the interviews and a lot of the comments from the players. There are things that last year, as good as they were still kind of like, okay, this is something we gotta do consistently. Now yeah. It's like second nature. What he just said right there, yeah, we just put pressure on teams. What did DA say the other day? Yeah, we're kind of working on ourselves as we're winning these games.
Working on ourselves right there. It really is. It's what you got to do. When you are better, when you're more talented than your opponent, just have to work on the base, work on the chung, work on the norm. Go out and do what you do. They're the ones who have to focus on the chi, doing the extraordinary. They have to do that when you have the more talented team. And so much of the time, it's not all the time, but so much of the time, the Phoenix Suns are clearly the more talented team. And a tough team as well. A better team. And because of that, it is focusing on yourself and preparing yourself to go out and play. That's the process.
Yeah, the Suns playing at, you know, whatever, 80%. Of what they what their potential is. Most nights is going to beat every team in the NBA other than what? Golden State, Brooklyn, and there's maybe Utah. There's a couple teams where they got to be on point to win those games. But otherwise, as long as they're not, they can't just go out there and roll the ball out and be like, hey, we're the Suns, we're going to win. But as long as they're
playing. I don't
know
if you could say a percentage. I just know that they don't have to play their best to beat a lot of the teams.
Yeah.
And we've seen that.
We're seeing it a lot. We've seen it for almost a month straight. All right, coming up, I'm interested to see where we go with this because the Cardinals have some key free agents after the season. We're gonna rank who they need to keep out of that group. It's some big names, and that's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is James Conner, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Brent to the right. He's got room at the 45.
I was running through the six with my walls.
I think Chase can do it all. I believe I can do it all.
Very excited about everybody that's in that room. I don't know if I've had a room quite as deep as this one.
Big hole Edmonds, 25-20, 10-5, touchdown.
Man, I just think explosive, just the weapons that we have.
Running through the six with my
walls. Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
Okay, this could be a challenging exercise here, Wolf. I know it's the one time a year when a Wednesday is a Friday, but I'm going to make you do a challenging exercise, okay? Because the Arizona Cardinals, for as great as this year is going, and this is not to say it can't continue beyond this year, but they're going to have to get creative this offseason. They got a lot of players that are playing major roles that aren't signed past this year. So we're going to look at nine, okay? I got nine names for you.
Okay.
And what, are we just going to put these in order? We'll just go reverse order? Or?
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
So the names we're going to look at, none of these guys are signed past this year. Zach Ertz, Colt McCoy, Chandler Jones, Corey Peters, James Conner, Max Williams, Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk, Robert Alford.
Okay.
That's nine pretty important players on this
team.
Wait
a minute, though. What about A.J. Green? Is A.J. Green signed past
this
year? We
can throw A.J. Green on there. He's got like some weird, like he is, but he isn't. But we can throw him on there if you want.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, honestly, I didn't know that. I thought he signed a one-year deal.
I thought he did too, but they have him listed as...
Okay, then let's take him out of it.
These other guys, the guys I just listed are already unrestricted free agents at the end of the season, whereas A.J. Green isn't necessarily.
I got you. Okay, good. All right.
So...
Just for clarity.
Yes.
Okay, good. Which players not signed past this season are you keeping from this group.
Yeah, and I didn't list every single player. That's not to diminish the other players,
sure.
But these are like the big nine. Those nine I just rattled
the
off.
The big nine. The big I like nine. That. It's got to, yeah. It just feels good.
It just makes you feel more
the
important.
The big nine right there. Okay, good. Shall you start?
So we're going to work our way up from 9 to 1, right? That's how we're going
to
do this?
9 to 1. Okay, that sounds good. Yes.
I'm not saying I wouldn't keep this guy, but you're going to have to get creative to keep all of them. I don't, realistically, before we start, they can't keep all of them, can they?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right. At number nine, then, now this pains me because I like this guy a lot. I'm going to go with Max Williams.
That's what I got, too.
Is it? Okay.
Number nine is Max Williams right there. Obviously, coming off a serious injury. He's going to be a question mark going forward for a while, I'm sure. The off season will roll around. We'll get a much better idea as to how Max is going to be able to contribute from that point forward. But I will say the question mark is there over Max Williams right now. I'm going to try to keep him the best that I possibly can because I love the guy and think he brings balance. If, in fact, he's going to recover from this injury, going to be okay, I'd love to have Max Williams back.
And he probably isn't going to ask for the sort of money that some of these guys on this list are. And I understand as we're doing this, we don't have the exact, like if we had every one of these players being like, this is my terms, these are my terms, this is what I'm going to want, then it would make this list a little more
clear.
Yeah. But also complicated because you got to balance the salaries. So we're kind of taking
that. I feel the same way about the next guy as well. Corey Peters is my number 8.
How did you know that was my number 8?
Was that your number 8 right there? Yeah, Corey Peters. And I feel exactly the same way about Robert Alford, who's number 7. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you know the order of my list?
I think it's because of their age, of course, because they've been around. Some of it is a little bit of the injury situation right now, and Robert Alford has had injury issues. Now, he's been very, very healthy this year, and man, what a great job Robert Alford has done for the Cardinals overall.
So let's pause here for a second. So we're basically approaching this as if we are Steve Keim this offseason and looking at 9 of the biggest names that are on the Cardinals that are unrestricted free agents at the end of the season as
sure.
It stands right now. So the 3 that we are putting at the bottom of the list of priorities, and I think most people would agree if you could just keep the whole team together, they're 9-2. You'd
Correct.
Like to keep all these guys.
Correct.
But if you can't, right now we have Robert Alford, Corey Peters, and Max Williams as our 7th, 8th, and 9th priorities. Partially with Max Williams, one of the reasons is because there's another guy that plays his position that's higher on this list.
And this is where it gets a little dicey
I think you and I are going to vary a little bit here now. So number 6 on the list, on the priority list.
What do you got?
I have Christian Kirk.
That's what I have as well, Christian Kirk right there.
Maybe this is more clear-cut
than I realize. I'm just saying it's Christian Kirk at number 6.
Because they have so many receivers already.
They do. They have a strong receiver room right now, and I'm a little concerned. I think Christian Kirk, unfortunately, might be hard to bring back because somebody I think is going to pay him some nice money.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. You're talking about a second-round pick that, at least coming into last week's game, was leading the Cardinals in receiving. And I know that that's, you know, it's a balanced attack, and there's a lot of guys that have been hurt. But he's been big this year on 3rd and 4th down, too, Wolf. And that's a guy just drafted, you know, just a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
I love Christian Kirk. I really do. But I think it's because he is good, because of the strength of that wide receiver room, that they're going to have a hard time paying him.
Yeah, you're right. I think somebody else is going to pay him more. All right, so we've got 5 players left we got to prioritize that aren't signed past this year for the Cardinals. Number 5, I have Chase Edmonds.
Okay, I have Zach Ertz.
Okay.
Number 5 right there, okay? You have Chase Edmonds. Why Chase?
I have Chase.
He was number 4 for me.
Okay. We're at the point of this list now where I definitely want everybody that's on the list to come back.
Right.
More so than even just the full 9. I feel like, A, there's another running back on this list I'm going to prioritize over him. But, B, it's not like I feel like I could replace Chase Edmonds, but I just feel like I don't want to have 2 running backs too high on this list.
Yes.
Why'd you have Zach Ertz there?
No, Zach Ertz to me is an enigma. he represents a conundrum, if you will. He's very, very talented, as we all know, at that tight end position, but he's more of a wide receiver. They move him out into the slot, of course, and he runs some great routes. We all know, we just saw in the last game what he was capable of doing. Are you going to run a lot of 12 personnel next year? Are you going to use a lot of two tight ends? I don't like him as the stud tight end. I love him as a move tight end. And if you're going to use a lot of 12 personnel in rundown situations where you have more of a stud tight end who can actually block and bring a lot of that balance and that physicality to that position, I love it. I would move Zach Ertz up the list. I just don't see that happening. I see it going the other direction, and because of it, we'll have to wait and see. But somebody's going to give Zach Ertz money as well.
Yeah, I have Ertz at number 4. You said you have Chase at number 4?
Yes.
Okay, so we just kind of flip-flopped those guys right there.
Yes.
So since we have both talked about Ertz right now, Ertz or Max Williams, you got to bring at least one of them back, right? Part of the reason I had Max Williams so low on the list is because I figured you bring Zach Ertz back.
Yeah, one of the reasons why Christian Kirk, I question whether he'll be brought back is just because of Zach Ertz and the money that they might try to give him. But again, he's done after this, and I don't think they're going to be able to pay Zach Ertz.
Huh. Okay. So we've got three guys left. Number 3 on my list is Chandler Jones. And my worry, that's who you have.
Okay, so give me your top 3.
I have Chandler 3rd, I have Colt McCoy 2nd, and James Conner 1st.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, so we really weren't that far off there.
No, absolutely. Very, very similar right here. The Chandler Jones thing is difficult. It is a difficult proposition. You're talking about one of my favorite players, Chan. I absolutely love and respect him as a player, as a dude.
Known to do a good Wolf impression.
The way that he goes about his business, he's absolutely awful when it comes to doing me. But I will tell you, he's a guy I've got the utmost respect for, but he's going to be 32. I have to look at it. I have to look at it through the lens of a salary cap and the fact that he's going to be 32 years old in February.
And he's not somebody that's going to be like, hey, I want a 2-year deal.
Can I just see Chan play the next 6 regular season games and whatever after that? Because he could, I'm telling you right now, you might convince me based on how he plays over those last 6 weeks and into the postseason that maybe a 2-year big deal, big 2-year contract, big money might be worth it.
So the term is more concerning to you than the actual money,
yes,
right? Because it is,
yes,
for me. I don't want to give as much. I like Chandler Jones. If he's getting some offer from some team, it'll probably be Jacksonville or somebody that's like, hey, we'll give you 5 years. Like,
exactly.
I can't give you 5 years, Chan.
I know, and Chan, I love you, Chan, but I can't do it. Yeah, I mean, you have to think as a general manager is going to think on this one. You have to. And sometimes understand this, Basin audience, you're going to get burned. You're going to make a decision on this and get burned as a general manager. It happens all across the league. It happens to everybody. Isn't that right, Calais Campbell? Isn't that right?
It's funny we both have Colt McCoy 2nd because you're talking about a guy that ideally we don't want to see play, whereas all these other guys on this list, you know, Chandler Jones, Zach Ertz, Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk, Robert Alford, Corey Peters, Max Williams, certainly James Conner, they're all playing. But the value that we keep hearing from, whether it's from Kyler Murray or Cliff Kingsbury or Chandler Jones, that Colt McCoy has to this team before he even steps on the field, A, he's not going to cost that much. B, I want that continuity behind Kyler and around Kyler.
Absolutely.
So I don't know that you can put a price on that.
Man, James Conner epitomizes. He does. He embodies everything that Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals wanted to be this year. More physical and have better leadership inside that locker room. A better culture. That is James Conner. That's why he's number 1. Colt McCoy, because of the tangibles he brings to the field and the intangibles he brings everywhere else. Colt McCoy is a must.
Even James Conner, a no-brainer to me that he's number 1, but that is a running back that's probably going to want a few years on his deal. So
he's
you're at
26.
Least going to have to negotiate. Yeah, no, I
that's
know.
That's the great thing about it.
But, I mean, can you give him 5 years so you can have a running back? Yeah, you got to be careful there, too. All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN. Jay Williams will call in next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.